Astori Publishing presents Blueprints and Brews. You open your laptop. The screen is still dark, but already you can feel the low hum of possibility, the way a stage feels just before the house lights go down. Next to you, steam curls from a cup of coffee, your favorite roast, because a good beginning deserves a good companion. Welcome to our shared workspace, an audiobook studio slash code lab where stories and software grow side by side. My mission is simple: to guide you, step by step, as we build a tiny web tool that suggests inspiring quotes with help from a lightweight language model API. By the final chapter, you will have an app you can show friends, a vocabulary you can teach colleagues, and, just as important, the quiet confidence that comes from understanding how every piece fits together. For today, though, ambition can wait outside. Our only job is to prepare the workbench, sharpen the pencils, and sketch the very first blueprint. Think of a carpenter smoothing fresh boards before driving the first nail, or a novelist jotting a one-sentence premise before paragraph one. Software is no different. Clear planning turns blank screens into playgrounds. We start with a README. Yes, in all capital letters, the way a lighthouse shines through fog. A README is a promise to yourself and to future collaborators. It names the problem. Choosing a meaningful quote takes time. Sketches the solution. Provide one-tap recommendations tailored to a user's mood, and sets a humble initial scope. Return a single quote, no user accounts, no dark mode, yet. In product circles, this slim first cut is called the minimum viable product, or MVP, but I prefer the novelist's phrasing. A rough draft, good enough that you can sense the story, small enough that no page is precious. Take a moment and picture that README living in a folder called Quote Suggestion App. Nothing else is in the folder. No code, no images, just a single text file glowing like a campfire. That glow is important. Every new file, every line of code, every design mock will eventually gather around this flame. And just as campers share one centralized fire, developers share one centralized filing cabinet for their project, the repository. A repository, or repo for short, is both a warehouse and a time machine. Inside it, the present is organized and the past is never lost. We manage that magical cabinet with a tool named Git. If you've never met Git before, imagine the track changes feature in a word processor blended with a personal historian who never sleeps. Each decision you make, adding a paragraph, deleting a scene, experimenting with an alternate ending, can be captured, described, and if necessary, reversed. In Git, these snapshots are called commits, and a sequence of them becomes the diary of your project. Installation is painless. On macOS, you might type brew install git. On Windows, the Git for Windows installer will handle the details. On Linux, your package manager stands ready. Once installed, Git waits quietly in the background, adding only one new command to your terminal vocabulary, git. Say hello. It is about to become your most trusted collaborator. Now, let's turn our empty folder into a repository. Open your terminal, navigate to the folder where Quote Suggestion App lives, and type git init. The command returns almost instantly. No fireworks, no fanfare, just a whispered hint that the cabinet now exists. Under the hood, Git has created a hidden Git directory, a private ledger where every future change will be recorded. In the ledger's silence, you can almost hear the echo of potential. Take a breath and look around. The folder still appears empty, except for readme.md, yet you now possess a vault that will remember everything. Add the README to version control with git add readme.md, then capture the moment forever. Git commit m chore initial README with project scope. The word chore at the beginning of the message follows a popular convention. It marks the commit as housekeeping rather than a feature or fix. But feel free to phrase the comment however your future self will understand. What matters is that you have written the first line in a story Git will tell back to you whenever you ask. So far, everything lives locally, on your machine, in your private vault. But software, like stories, longs to be shared, and for that, we introduce GitHub. If Git is the filing cabinet, GitHub is the cloud-based reading room where others can browse, comment, or even contribute new chapters. You'll need a free account if you don't already have one. Once signed in, click New Repository, choose a name, Quote Suggestion App is perfectly fine, add a description if you like, and leave the rest of the settings on their defaults. GitHub will display a set of commands to connect your local vault to this shiny remote copy. The crucial line is git remote add origin, followed by a URL that ends in .git. Paste it into your terminal, then push your history skyward with git push -u origin main. In a few heartbeats, the README appears on GitHub, timestamped and immortalized. Now let's pause for a recall moment. Why does a repository matter? Try saying the answer aloud in one clear sentence before we continue. If words fail you, remember the simplest truth we have touched. A repository is a single spot that stores every version of your code so nothing is ever lost. Keep that definition handy. You will impress more experienced developers than you might think. In many tutorials, this is the stage where instructions blitz forward. Branching, cloning, pull requests, remotes galore. Not here. Today we stop, admire the stillness, and let the freshly laid foundations settle. You have planned your first mini product, committed its guiding README, and published the repository for safekeeping. That is progress worth savoring. Here's a short recap. Git is your time machine. Plan first, commit often, and trust that you can always travel back to yesterday's stable ground. Tomorrow we will give our app a face. A modest web page built with HTML, dressed in a dash of CSS, and awakened by a whisper of JavaScript. Soon after, we will venture behind the curtain to spin up a server, teach it to chat with an AI quote engine, and orchestrate the dance between front and back. At every milestone, Git will capture your steps, guarding against missteps so that experimentation never feels reckless. Close the laptop, sip the last lukewarm drop of coffee, and smile. The stage lights have risen, the first line of dialogue is written, and a brand new journey has begun. Early the next morning, you return to the same desk, noticing how the repository we created yesterday now feels less like an empty journal and more like a story begging for characters. In cafe terms, we have the lease and the floor plan. Now it's time to hang a sign, wheel in an espresso machine, and introduce touches that spark curiosity. This welcoming, street-facing portion of any software project is called the front end, and it draws its life from three closely cooperating ingredients: HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Picture a storefront window. First, a carpenter frames the panes of glass, marking out where the door and handle will go. In code, that frame is HTML, whose main job is to declare what should appear on the page: headings, paragraphs, images, buttons. Each HTML element is nothing more than a bracketed label: door, hours, menu. Next, a designer arrives with color palettes and fabrics, transforming bare structure into an inviting space. That is CSS, which makes the chalkboard slate gray, the fonts tastefully creamy, and the spacing feel just right. Finally, a friendly barista emerges, serving customers, brewing drinks, and punching loyalty cards. This liveliness maps to JavaScript, the programming language that listens for clicks or keystrokes, updating prices or revealing panels in response. Nearly every website you visit, from a personal blog to your bank's dashboard, combines these three skills. It's best to see this at work with a small example. In the quote suggestion app folder, create a file named index.html and open it in your text editor. Type a minimal structure that includes a heading and a paragraph placeholder, then load the file in your browser. You should see your heading and an empty paragraph. Simple, static, but undeniably there. Add a style tag to the head to soften the background and choose a pleasing font, then reload. The look changes, courtesy of CSS. Next, introduce a script tag just before closing the body. Tell JavaScript to fill an empty paragraph with a friendly greeting and watch it appear. You have just modeled the entire front-end ecosystem in fewer than 20 lines. Of course, as your menu grows to include quotes, favorites, themes, and animated transitions, raw HTML and CSS can become unwieldy. That is where frameworks enter with ready-made counters, drawers, and modular cabinets. React is one such framework, a popular choice for building modern UIs from reusable pieces called components. Before you can embrace React, you need Node.js, a runtime that lets JavaScript work outside the browser. Bundled with it is NPM, the Node Package Manager, an app store for code that fetches and organizes the libraries you rely on. Once Node and NPM are installed, check their versions in a terminal to be sure everything is set up. In the quote suggestion app folder, initialize a React workspace with a fast build tool called Vite. After you answer a couple of prompts, you'll see files like main.jsx and app.jsx. These .jsx files look like HTML embedded in JavaScript, but React compiles them into optimized updates for your web page, so only what truly changes re-renders. You can start a local development server with a simple command. Open localhost in your browser and watch changes appear immediately. This refreshing speed is called hot reload, and it feels like your personal barista refilling your mug before you even ask. Check your repository structure to find a new file called package.json. It tracks every dependency, ensuring that anyone who clones your project can run npm install and get matching versions of all needed libraries. After exploring your new React app, commit these changes with a comment like, "Feat, scaffold React frontend with Vite starter," then push to GitHub. Now your cloud-based reading room holds not just a README, but the beginnings of a living, breathing frontend. In your mind's eye, see the cafe once more. HTML is the framework of counters and shelves, CSS the artful decor and lighting, and JavaScript the busy staff making each interaction feel personal. React adds pre-built cabinetry that rearranges itself on command, while Node and NPM handle the behind-the-scenes logistics. It all comes together with a certain elegance, a synergy that grows more intuitive with practice. If you need a quick reminder, think of the front end as the smile you show the world, one that rearranges itself with each shift in conversation. And now, test your recall. Which language gives the page its structural bones? That would be HTML. What captures NPM's role in everyday terms? It's a little like an app store or a well-stocked spice rack for code. And how do you launch your hot reloading React development server? A single NPM run dev, and you're off. If those prompts came easily, treat yourself to another sip of coffee. The counter is built, the lights are on, and a small line of text cheerily greets your users. Next time, we'll slip behind the kitchen door and fire up the back end, where an AI-powered quote generator will soon conjure something timeless. For now, enjoy the hum of this new front-end smile that shines through the glass, making passersby wonder what's brewing inside. Early the next day, you slip behind the kitchen door, just as promised. Imagine the quiet bustle of a roastery hidden from the busy cafe out front. Beans roasting slowly, spouts hissing and clanking, steam carrying the aroma of fresh coffee. That is the back end of any software project. Invisible to your visitors, but absolutely vital. Here, code listens for requests, processes data, and returns exactly what someone asked for, even if that means brewing up a complex response in seconds. In practical terms, the back end is a server application running on a machine somewhere, waiting for a knock on the door. When your front-end code says, "Hey, do we have any new quotes?" it's the back-end that checks a database or an external AI service, wraps up a reply, and sends it right back. Without this exchange, your page would remain static, stuck offering the same words forever. Dynamic data depends on a server, and that server is best understood as a flexible chef who takes orders, prepares relevant ingredients, and delivers a finished dish. Many talented chefs exist in the coding world. One popular option is Node.js with Express, where you write server code in the same JavaScript you already know from the front end. But sometimes a different approach feels more intuitive. Maybe Python with Django, for instance. Django is often praised for its batteries included style, meaning it ships with plenty of built-in utilities like authentication, database migrations, and templating. Picture walking into a kitchen that already has measuring cups, oven timers, and labeled jars of spices. You spend less time hunting for the right tool and more time focusing on your actual recipe, delivering well-prepared responses to your users. Once you have chosen your back-end framework, the first task is to set up an environment that keeps your project's libraries isolated from system-wide installs. In Python, that means creating a virtual environment. You activate it, install Django with a single command, and watch as your behind-the-scenes station transforms from an empty counter to a working line of pots and pans. Django's built-in command, Django admin start project, scaffolds a new folder structure, one that includes settings, URLs, and a special place for your application's logic. The moment you run your development server, the console prints a reassuring message. Starting development server at http://127.0.1/8000/. It's as if you've turned on the lights, Brooms are in place, and you can now accept your very first order. Inside Django, the concept of a route tells the server how to respond when a request arrives. If someone sends a GET request to /hello, the route might return a friendly text message. That basic handshake between front-end and back-end goes like this. Front-end says, "I'm heading to /hello," and the back-end knows to respond with, "Hello from Django." The code that performs this greeting is called a view, and it marks an important shift in perspective. Instead of just putting content on a page, you're now returning data through endpoints, letting your front-end decide how to display it. If you prefer to return JSON rather than plain text, you can craft a response in Python that looks like a dictionary. Django then transforms it into valid JSON, ready to be consumed by JavaScript. Django's template system, powered by a language akin to Jinja, also helps populate HTML dynamically. If you've used mail merge in a word processor, you already grasp the concept. Instead of manually pasting each quote or username, you place placeholders in your template, and Django fills them in at runtime with real data, from a database, an API, or even an AI-driven quote suggestion. This approach leaves your core HTML design intact while letting data flow naturally in and out, much like a barista adjusting each order without rewriting the cafe's entire menu. All of these behind-the-scenes steps highlight the importance of environment variables, the secret recipe cards you want to keep away from prying eyes. An environment variable might store your database credentials, an API key for that AI quote service, or any other sensitive information. Because this data is not committed to the public repository, it's much easier to manage and protect. If you ever need to rotate an API key or change a password, you can do it in one place without altering your actual code. Think of it like locking away your special blend of beans where only trusted staff can access it, ensuring your best flavors remain safe from anyone who might walk in. Before moving on, pause and recall why segmentation of code and secrets matters. If you merged passwords or secret tokens directly into your files, you'd risk exposing them to anyone who visits your project repository. Separating secrets from code also means you can share your repository freely with teammates or the public while still guarding private or sensitive keys. Summed up in one sentence, environment variables protect your delicate secrets by wrapping them snugly out of plain sight. By this point, you have a functional server that knows how to listen for an order, gather the right ingredients, and respond with fresh content. A developer can tinker with routes and views, setting them up to exchange lively data with the front end. This synergy feels as close to magic as it gets in the coding world. Beneath the comfortable illusions of the user interface, you've built a robust workshop that stands ready for any new request. As you watch the logs trace each incoming call and each outgoing response, you realize it's all just code waiting for a signal. And that is precisely the point. A server is simply code that waits for a request. Once you grasp that, you can shape the backend to do almost anything. Fetch quotes, run AI logic, store user preferences, without ever revealing the stealthy gears turning below the surface. The very next afternoon, sunlight slants across your desk, painting a golden rectangle that touches both the React files set up out front and the Django modules simmering in the kitchen. You pause, listening. The front end hums its friendly greeting, the back end keeps its quiet vigil, yet between them hangs a hush, like two rooms separated by a closed window. It is time to slide that window open. The language they will use to call and respond is HTTP, the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, but here we can simply call it the waiter. Imagine a customer stepping up to the counter. They glance at the menu board, choose Inspire Me, and speak their order. That spoken request is what your JavaScript becomes, a well-formed sentence carried across the window. On the other side, the backend listens, prepares something nourishing, and hands it back on a tray. In web terms, the customer's sentence is called a request, the tray is the response, and the entire back and forth is the HTTP cycle. You already know both actors. Let's give them their first line of dialogue. In app.jsx, you add a button labeled New Quote. Inside its on-click handler, one small incantation begins the ritual, fetch/api-quote. That call might look trivial, yet it instantly conjures four crucial ideas. First, API, think of it as the cafe menu. it lists what is available, guaranteeing that any server following the spec can handle the order. Second, endpoint. The string/API quote pinpoints the hatch where this particular dish is prepared. Third, method. Because you did not specify one, fetch defaults to get, meaning retrieve something but don't change anything. And fourth, payload, or body. A get usually carries no body, but if you later post JSON like tone reflective, that becomes your payload, the bundle of groceries you hand the chef. Behind the window, Django hears the knock. A root in urls.py matches /API/quote and hands the request to a view named getQuote. The view wakes up, asks an internal helper, or soon, an external AI for a fresh line and wraps the answer in JSON. Quote, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Alongside the data, Django sets a tiny numeric flag called the status code. When it's 200, it simply means all is well. This is like the barista smiling as they slide a saucer across. The front-end code, still waiting on the other side, receives that response, calls response JSON, and updates state so the quote blossoms onto the page. A moment ago, the two rooms were silent. Now they complete each other's sentences. But cafes, like networks, can falter. Suppose a developer renames the Django route to /API/quotes, forgetting to update the front-end. When fetch/API/quote runs, Django can't find anything and returns a 404 not found. That numeric slip signals, we tried, but there's nothing here to serve. If your JavaScript ignores the problem, the user sees no change at all, which can be confusing. A little courtesy goes a long way. Fetch API/quote dot thens, if res.ok, throw new error, server says res.status, or then data equal setquote data dot catch error dot message. Those few lines form the etiquette of error handling. They check res.ok false whenever the status code drifts outside 200.299, and if trouble arises, throw an exception for catch to handle. Perhaps you display a polite message. Oops, no quote right now. Like a barista apologizing for running out of almond milk, honesty paired with a friendly tone keeps the experience welcoming. Once you taste the power of status codes, you notice them everywhere. A 201 created might appear when a new favorite quote is added successfully. A 400 bad request flags malformed data, for instance, if you misspell tone as ton. A 500 internal server error says the server tripped itself. Numbers are terse for machine's sake, but as you send and receive them, you start to read them as easily as a coffee shop regular interprets chalk scribbles on the board. Take a step back and trace the full journey once more. A user clicks new quote. JavaScript prepares a get request to /API/quote, plus some headers indicating format preferences or cookies. The request travels locally or across the web until Django intercepts it. Django runs its logic, crafts a JSON response, stamps it with 200 OK, and sends it home. The browser unwraps the JSON, React sets state, and the user sees fresh text on the screen. One breath in, one breath out. Request, processing, response. Pause for a moment and answer aloud. Which three steps form the heartbeat of every HTTP cycle? Next, when you post data like tone uplifting to the server, what is that JSON data called? And finally, if the front-end requests /API/quote when that route no longer exists, which numeric status code returns? Listen to your answers. We will revisit them soon. You might wonder how front and back-end code agree on the shape of these messages. The handshake is documented in your API specification. On large teams, you might write it in OpenAPI, giving each endpoint a clear definition. For a smaller project, a markdown note in your README does the trick. Get API/quote responds with quote string, post API quote expects tone string, and returns quote string, or 422 if tone is missing. An API spec keeps all developers aligned, much like a pharmacist and doctor both reading the same prescription. Maybe you add a small loading icon when new quote is clicked. That's just another React state tweak triggered before the fetch call. It's easy to spot how data, UI, and the server handshake flow together. And from here, full stack development starts to feel like one continuous conversation. JavaScript says a line, Python answers, and HTTP carries it all seamlessly. Answers, as promised. The heartbeat is request, processing, response. The JSON body you send is the payload. A missing resource returns 404. If you answered two or three correctly, celebrate with a satisfied sip of coffee. Before ending your session, imagine the next few weeks. A teammate on another continent updates the Django view. Someone else reworks the React code. How do they confirm the handshake still works? Automated tests will soon replay this entire cycle, but that's for tomorrow. For now, commit your fetch logic, the Django route, and a note that gracefully handles 404. Push to GitHub and see your project's green checkmark. You've just bridged front and back with a single protocol, letting them exchange data as easily as a barista chats with a smiling patron. As the sun dips below the window, you slide the pane shut, content in the knowledge that your app can serve and respond. The customer speaks, the chef replies, and everyone understands each other. That is the quiet triumph of HTTP, an elegant, structured dialogue that, once mastered, makes every full-stack project feel like a friendly chat across the counter. You lean back, letting the gentle hush of HTTP fade to a low murmur behind the scenes. Our cafe can now take an order and deliver a prepared dish, but the menu is still limited, like serving only plain drip coffee in a world that craves lavender honey lattes. Time to invite a gifted new barista into the kitchen, a machine learning model that can create just right quotes on demand. Picture this model as an exceptionally well-read friend, someone who has devoured thousands of books, poems, and speeches, storing every memorable phrase as tiny puzzle pieces called tokens. A token might be a whole word, part of a word, or even a punctuation mark, depending on the model's internal dictionary. When you give the model a prompt, like share a contemplative quote about perseverance, it rearranges tokens like magnetic poetry, weighing everything it has previously seen. Those choices are called inference, the instant when the model reasons. After the word perseverance, humanity often speaks of steady steps or steadfast hearts. The resulting sentence feels almost hand-picked, yet it was stitched together in milliseconds by probabilistic math. Of course, our new friend will not work for free. Somewhere on the internet, an API waits, guarding the model and charging by the 1,000 tokens it processes. To pass that gate, you need a special handshake, a secret token known as an API key. It's like a backstage pass proving you're allowed to send requests. In a Django project, that key should live inside an environment variable, never in your code. So if you accidentally share your repository, the pass remains hidden. Open your Django project and create a new file named services.py where you define a small helper function called fetchQuoteFromAI. At its heart is a model name, perhaps GPT Lite 3.5. Quick enough for hobby projects, a prompt containing the user's mood, such as, inspire me with an uplifting quote about mood, and a max tokens limit of 60 to prevent overly long replies. When Django calls this helper, it crafts a JSON payload like model, GPT-Lite 3.5, prompt, max tokens 60, then sends it with a post request to https://api.cleverquotes.ai/v1's completions. Slipping your API key into the authorization header as bearer your API key. If the key is valid and you still have token credits, the model quickly assembles a sentence. If not, the API returns a 401 unauthorized to signal that your name is missing from the list. Next, wire this helper into a new Django view. Suppose in views.py you create something like def suggest request mood equals request.get mood life. Try quote equals fetch quote from AI mood. Accept timeout error. Return JSON response, error, AI service timed out, status 504. Accept authentication error, return JSON response, error, auth failed, status 401. Then you register the path in urls.py with path api/suggest views.suggest. That small update gives you an endpoint that returns a fresh quote based on the mood parameter. Along the way, latency becomes your newest consideration. Previously, serving a hard-coded quote happened instantly on your own machine, but now there's a real round trip across the web. Even a lightweight model might take a fraction of a second, and some heavier ones can linger for 2 seconds or more. The best remedy is to let your interface breathe. Show a loading spinner or a friendly message like brewing your quote until the AI call finishes. Like a barista chatting while pulling a shot, this slight cue eases any sense of waiting. On the React side, you replace fetch API quote with fetch API /suggest mood equals encode component mood. You might set a loading piece of state to true right before calling fetch, display an animated spinner on screen, then switch loading to false once the JSON arrives. The end result is subtle, yet significant. Instead of freezing, your front end remains alive and welcoming. Pause for a recall moment. Why store the API key in an environment variable rather than in the main code? Give yourself a second to speak the answer aloud. If you said, because environment variables keep secrets from leaking into the repository, you've nailed the point. Think of it as keeping your private stash of beans locked safely in a cabinet nobody else can open. As you refine this feature, remember that the external service charges for each token, both inbound and outbound. Providers also impose rate limits, maybe a certain number of tokens or requests per minute, so your code should handle bursts gracefully. A simple defense might be caching or debouncing excessive calls, recycling a recent quote if 3 user requests arrive within seconds. It saves money and keeps your user experience consistent. Finally, commit these new additions to version control with a message like feat, integrate AI model, add API/suggest endpoint with mood parameter, then push to GitHub. Your continuous integration system can either mock the AI call or inject a dummy key for testing, ensuring you don't accidentally burn through credits. Take a moment to appreciate how all these layers, front-end, back-end, secret keys, external services, now operate in harmony. When you do want a final flourish, you can ask the model itself for a closing line, something like, between dawn and dusk lies a horizon of choice. Step toward the light, and your shadow will follow with grace. After all, in this newly expanded cafe, a single request can yield an endless stream of possibilities, each one proof that a well-tuned system guided by a bit of curiosity can serve up more than just coffee. The cafe is lively now, aromas swirling, customers chatting, code flowing. Yet you notice something unsettling. Every improvement you make lands directly on the single main branch of your repository. It feels like rearranging furniture in a bustling coffee shop while guests are still sipping cappuccinos. One slip of the hand and the whole place could wobble. Today we install guardrails, both social and technical, to keep creativity flowing safely and confidence high. Imagine a leather-bound ledger on the counter. Each time you finish a small task, adding a loading spinner, refining a CSS color, you jot a dated entry, sign it, and tuck the book away. That entry is a commit, a permanent note of what changed and why. Its hash is like a page number, while the brief message is your diary headline, something like, feat, add loading spinner during AI call. Clear headlines tell future readers exactly what happened without forcing them to scan every diff. Now suppose you want to try something bigger, like a favorite quotes feature that saves selections across sessions. You could continue committing on main, hoping nothing breaks, or you could tear off a fresh sheet in a separate notebook. That parallel notebook is a branch. Running git checkout-b favorites creates a new timeline that starts now, but can diverge freely, letting you experiment without disturbing what's already working. You can create a heart-shaped icon on the front end, extend your Django model, and write tests, none of which touches main until you're ready. After several days, your branch feels complete. The feature works, your tests pass, and your commit history reads like a neat chronology. It is time to rejoin the main storyline. That reunion is called a merge. You place both notebooks side by side, weaving the best paragraphs together into one narrative. Usually Git merges automatically. Sometimes, though, two authors have changed the same sentence, a phenomenon called a merge conflict, which Git marks with special brackets in the file. To settle it, you compare the differences, choose the correct wording, save, and commit the resolution. It may sound dramatic, but it's just a thoughtful editorial step. You might be content in your local environment, but your teammates are still looking at yesterday's menu. In a cafe, you would tap a colleague's shoulder and invite them to taste your new latte. In GitHub, you open a pull request, or PR. A PR showcases the new branch, explains the recipe, and invites feedback. GitHub displays every changed line and runs automated checks. Reviewers can comment, "This is fantastic, but let's rename mood to feeling," and you push follow-up commits that appear right in the same discussion. The entire conversation is saved for posterity, preserving context and rationale behind each choice. Enter continuous integration, or CI, the tireless night shift robot that tests your code while you sleep. GitHub Actions is an easy way to hire this robot. In the root of your repository, you create a folder called .github/workflows and drop in a file like ci.yml. That file is written in YAML, which looks like a neatly indented checklist. You can instruct GitHub Actions that whenever someone opens a pull request against main, it should spin up a fresh Ubuntu environment, check out the repository, install Python 3.11, run pip install -r requirements.txt, and run python manage.py test for the backend. Then it installs Node 20, runs npm CI, and finishes by running npm test with watch mode turned off. Put simply, the script says, if anything fails, turn the pull request red. If everything passes, mark it green. You will sense the real value of CI the first time someone forgets an import or breaks a function. Instead of pushing faulty code into main, GitHub Actions flags the mistake with a bright red X, and you fix the error before it ever reaches production. Gone are the nights of frantic bug hunting after a deployment meltdown. A quick correction and a fresh commit restore that comforting green checkmark in minutes. Now a pause for reflection in the mellow hush of the cafe. What three words describe the journey of a feature branch from start to finish? Which Git tool protects main while folks review and discuss your work? And when exactly does our workflow run in this setup? If the answers come easily, branch, commit, merge, plus the pull request as your guardian, and it triggers on every pull request to main, reward yourself with an imaginary biscotti. We end in a place every developer wants to be, a place of restful confidence. Commit early and often, so each piece of history is clear. Branch freely so you can experiment without risk. Merge only after you've had good conversation and the automated checks have turned green. And let those quiet robots watch the espresso machine all night, ready to catch any slip before the morning rush. CI lets you sleep while the robots test. At last, it's showtime. After countless commits and careful checks, your cafe is ready to fling its doors open, inviting the world inside. In the web world, that moment is called deployment. Think of it like hiring someone to rent out a cozy storefront. Your code needs a real address on the internet where guests can visit, linger, and come back for seconds. The key is finding a hosting service that suits your size and style. Some popular options are Heroku, Render, or Vercel, each offering a balance of convenience and control. Whichever you choose, the idea remains the same. You bundle your application's files, hand them to the hosting platform, and trust it to run all the behind-the-scenes tasks that make your site accessible. Your site needs a place to live and a specific set of instructions so the host knows how to start it. In a Django project, a file called procfile typically contains a line like web/gunicorn/myproject.usgi, which tells the host to launch your project using the Gunicorn server behind the scenes. If you're deploying a React frontend, your package.json might specify a build script that compiles the modern JavaScript into something browsers of all kinds can understand. These details sound small, but forget one line, and your cafe's doors remain locked. Visitors will see only an error page. Equally important are production environment variables. On your local machine, you might have dozens of test secrets, debugging flags, or AI tokens. In production, you'll want to store those keys in the hosting platform's configuration area, never in the repository. This ensures no one can casually peek at your passwords. If you ever rotate a key, maybe you suspect unauthorized use, you can update the environment variable once, and all new instances of your application immediately run with the new setting. It's the same principle as changing the locks on your cafe while keeping the staff's routine intact. Now, about continuous deployment. You've already set up continuous integration to test every pull request, but why stop there? Many hosting services offer a link to your GitHub repository so that whenever main is updated and tests pass, your site automatically redeploys. It's like building a conveyor belt that starts with fresh code and ends with a live website. With each green checkmark from CI, the code travels straight to production with no extra button clicks. This eliminates the Friday night routine of babysitting a manual deploy and worrying about whether you forgot a crucial step. If a mistake does sneak in, you can trigger a rollback, instantly reverting your site to its prior version, much like restoring a saved checkpoint in a game. Once the new version is live, you'll want to keep an eye on it. Hosting platforms often have dashboards that show logs, CPU usage, and memory stats. If your quote generator starts spitting out errors or the traffic suddenly spikes, you'll see the warnings appear, giving you time to adjust. Maybe your AI service is nearing its monthly token limit, or your database is edging toward capacity. These metrics help you address issues before they affect users. It's a bit like checking the pastry case in a cafe. When you see the croissants running low, you bake more. When you see an oven overheating, you lower the temperature before anything burns. Take a moment to recall the central steps of deployment. First, choose a host that matches your needs. Next, ensure your application can be started cleanly with a .prof file or the equivalent configuration. Then protect your secrets through environment variables so the project can run safely in production. Finally, connect the process to your Git repository, letting a continuous deployment pipeline carry changes from commit to live site. Each step builds on the trust you've earned by testing your code thoroughly, and each step brings your cafe one moment closer to the satisfaction of a bustling crowd. If you find yourself needing extra capacity, maybe your little quote app suddenly goes viral, scalability is often just a setting away. Many hosts let you add more computing power with a few clicks, or replicate your containers across multiple regions so visitors around the globe enjoy speedy load times. This might sound advanced, but the seeds for expansion are already planted in your architecture. Because you kept your code modular and tested each piece with CI, scaling up feels more like rearranging tables in a growing cafe than tearing down walls. Now imagine a user in another country tapping your site's URL. The request zips around the world, arriving at your host, which spins up a Python process for the server side, a compiled React build for the front end, and an HTTPS handshake for secure data transfer. In seconds, the user sees all your thoughtful design choices, from the crisp layout to the AI-suggested quote. This moment, lights on, sign lit, customers exploring, is the sweetness of showtime. And whenever you want to iterate, just commit your tweaks and watch the conveyor belt carry them out to the world. So you've journeyed through planning, building, branching, testing, and finally deploying. You learned that secrets belong outside the repository, that continuous integration keeps your code stable, and that continuous deployment turns stable code into an instantly available new release. If you ever doubted you could stitch all these pieces together, writing a README, forging a front-end smile, spinning up a Django backend, connecting an AI service, look at your live app now. It's proof that thoughtful packing, careful shipping, and a dash of curiosity can place a fully functioning cafe right at your user's fingertips. And that first time you see real traffic hitting your URL, you'll smile, remembering that your simple collection of files is now an open door to the world. Thank you for choosing Astori Publishing.